Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in the playoff activity around here. We have the Purple Flamingos out on the lawn here at WNST. We're also going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour this week with an old friend. I've been eating G&A Coney Island hot dogs since my childhood in the 1970s with my pop up in Highland Town. They've moved the business out to White Marsh, so we're looking forward to seeing Andy. I've had some breakfast out there, but I've not had his crab cake out in White Marsh, so we'll see you on Thursday between 1 and 4. We'll have some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away, a handful of holiday cash drops, as well as some Raven scratch-offs as we begin the new year and the crab cake tour, all of it brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, and 5 years no financing. That's no BS. It's straight up. Get your windows taken care of. I've been much, much more comfortable this winter. Funny, I was much more uncomfortable with the football situation before Sunday happened. And Luke Jones joins us now to discuss what was a bit of a preseason game, a bit of, I mean, even when Tony Dungy was talking about it later tonight, he's like, you don't ever show anything in this game if you're going to see him again next week. Guys got injured. I mean, the Bengals suffered a huge loss with the guard in the game as well. But defensively, if the Ravens have a prayer of winning the game on Sunday night, maybe they can stop Joe Burrow a little bit. Maybe they can get the ball to bounce the right way. Maybe they can pick a ball off or two. Maybe they can strip a ball. I don't know, but it starts to feel like we're going to give a lot of oxygen to Lamar and more Lamar on the offense. But if they win on Sunday night, it won't just be Lamar. The defense is going to play a role in that too.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think as much as you look at the final score and you say, well, you gave up 27 points, anyone who watched that game, it was a good defensive effort. I mean, at times it was really good. Especially as the game went on in the second half. And, you know, that's when you kind of get into, okay, how much was Cincinnati showing? How much was the Ravens showing? You know, is Mike McDonald going to give away what his real game plan is for Sunday night? Are the Bengals going to do that? But I think what was interesting, you know, a couple things that, you know, you kind of take away. The defensive line really controlled the line of scrimmage. I mean, Cincinnati did not run the ball at all. They barely tried to run the ball, even with the lead, which I thought was very interesting, just from the standpoint of interesting to put your quarterback in harm's way, potentially in that way. I mean, the Ravens probably could have sacked Joe Burrow six or seven times, and it was only a couple times because they missed him. And it's a credit to Burrow with his mobility as he gets further and further away from his ACL injury from a couple years ago. He's mobile enough. But I think what was interesting, and this is where you start to say, okay, what was real from Sunday, which again, as I've said to you, I'm not putting much stock, good or bad, in much of anything from Sunday's game, other than the couple injuries that occurred, you know, both teams dealing with a couple things that came out of that game. But you know, we saw Joe Burrow miss a lot of throws. I mean, if anyone who's watched him over the last couple months, you know, for me, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP. You know, Jalen Hurts, certainly before his injury, was in that discussion and probably was the favorite for at least a little while there. But Joe Burrow, the last couple months, very, you know, I don't want to even say quietly because the Bengals haven't lost since Halloween, but he's played at a very high level, but he missed some throws. I mean, there were some plays that he left out on the field. So which way do you look at that? Do you say, okay, how much of that was the Ravens and what they did defensively? And how much of that is, they kind of got Burrow on a day where he completed under 60% of his passes and he was only at, what, 5.1 yards per attempt. And can we really expect that to happen again? So, you know, you kind of play that game one way or the other, but, you know, it was a good performance defensively, especially understanding no Marcus Peters. You know, Brandon Stevens wasn't there because he came down with an illness late last week and was inactive. So they had Darryl Worley out there, and you know, we saw him do some good. We saw
we
him
saw
do
a
some
lot
bad.
Of him.
Yeah. Oh, no question. And that's something to point out as much as when I'm talking about this, how much is real, how much is, you know, kind of just not a preseason game, but maybe only a step up from a preseason game. Yeah. The Bengals went after him. Well, it's going to be Marcus Peters next week. So that's where it's okay. How healthy is Marcus Peters after a few weeks out with the calf injury? Although keep in mind, he did practice all last week. So I feel good about at least his availability come Sunday night. So
it's all hands on deck, bro. Right.
It Literally. Is right. Right. I mean, it, you know, I even use that expression at BaltimorePositive.com. You're just hoping that Lamar Jackson will be part of that picture, but you said it, as much as we're going to talk about Lamar, whether he's out there, is he out there? Is he not out there? What does he look like? How much rust is there? Even if he is 100% healthy, we still know this offense has its issues. Even with Lamar, it had its issues. So the path for this team to not just beat Cincinnati, but to talk about any chance of making a run here and getting to an AFC championship game, for example, it really, you know, it begins with Lamar, but it really continues with that defense playing at a high level. And, you know, certainly they've had their times where they've wilted, and that's why I will not call this a great defense because of how they performed in the fourth quarter overall this year. But what we saw on Sunday, that's kind of what you're looking at. Now, you can't turn it over four times. That's stating the obvious, right? So if you can minimize the mistakes offensively, you got to be able to score into the 20s, let's say, which is something they haven't done in quite some time when you're talking about their offense. But the defense, what we saw on Sunday, you know, and even if it's not quite that good as far as just what they did, meaning 4 yards per play allowed and Burrow being under 60%, et cetera, but if they can get some stops, if they can keep Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and Hayden Hurst, keep them, and Joe Mixon as a receiver or as a runner, keep them all from going nuts, from wrecking the game. If you can do that, and look, that's a lot of names, and that's why it's so challenging. Cincinnati has a lot of weapons, you know, unlike this Ravens offense. But
Hayden Hurst looks like he doesn't like the Ravens. It feels that way.
He definitely, you could, yeah. I mean, I definitely, you know, I sense that.
He doesn't treat the Steelers that way.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely some motivation there, and I don't think it's bitterness, but I think it's very much a case of, yeah, because keep in mind, he wanted to be traded. Let's remind everyone of that. It's not as though the
– And by the way, I'm writing about that in my column this week about people asking off the purple boat. That never used to happen. And then I thought the only one that's ever asked out of here was Hollywood Brown. Then I thought, no, Hayden Hurst asked. I literally thought this a couple hours ago when I was writing. And I thought, is anybody else asking out of here? Because there hasn't been, historically, back to Modell, back to the beginning – we haven't had a whole lot of off seasons, and that's what we're talking about with Lamar. If this isn't going to go well and there's not going to be a marriage here and they are not playing football in Kansas City next week and like all of that, right? Like asking out. The Hayden Hurst thing's even more interesting because I can't think of I got hands. Tell me who they are because you got a better memory than me, but not a lot of guys have said, I want to leave Baltimore. Trade me.
I mean, the one that comes to mind right away, and they were able to remedy it, obviously, is Ray Lewis post-2005, you know, before they drafted Helody. Now, the Ravens weren't going to trade him, but it was very clear he wanted out. He was unhappy, at the very least. You know, whether he truly wanted out or he just wanted, you know, more money, wanted a big defensive tackle to keep blockers off of him.
Ed Reed tweeted that he would stay home, and then Ed Reed went and played for anybody that would put a helmet on him.
Sure. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, well, Ed was always, you know, was famous for talking out of both sides of his mouth. But yeah, but your point is well taken. And
I can hear Ed saying Lamar, it's a business. I can just hear Ed saying that to Lamar right now.
It is a business. It is a business. I mean, it's as much as fans and, you know, even us as media, I'd much rather talk about games than contracts and salary cap and all those things. But it's a big part of it. Even during the season when it's not as much. You know, it's not as much in the conscious, you know, it's not in the forefront. It's always there. I mean, guys will tell you it's not. And look, when guys are out on the field and the bullets are flying and the game is going on, yeah, they're not thinking about it then, but they're thinking about it otherwise. You know, how could you not? You know, especially when you're talking about a case like Lamar. But to go back to what I was saying, I mean, the Bengals have a lot of weapons. So for this defense to duplicate what it did on Sunday, which was, you know, what they did, you know, they didn't give up the full 27 points. I mean, heck, one of those touchdowns was a strip sack recovered in the end zone. So you can't put that on the defense one iota, but they've got to get some stops. And I think what encourages you is what they were able to do at the line of scrimmage. You know, Cincinnati did not run the ball, which, you know, I was surprised they didn't try to run it a little bit more, especially having a lead to try to keep, you know, keep the heat off Joe Burrow. But between that and some of the pressure they were able to get, as you mentioned, you know, right guard Alex Kappa goes down with, I think they're calling it an ankle, but I've seen, you know, some video. You have to wonder about the knee. Oof. I mean, it looked ugly. You know, I know the Dr. David Chows of the internet and the football world are already saying they're not sure he's going to be back for the rest of the postseason, let alone on Sunday night. I don't know that. Again, that's the initial reaction we saw. But keep in mind, this is a Bengals offensive line that lost Lyle Collins, their right tackle, a few weeks ago as well. So you're talking potentially new right guard and inexperienced right tackle for Sunday night's
different
game.
Team.
You know, that's I mean, think about the Bengals offensive line. We've talked about the offensive line here in Baltimore a lot over the last few years with Ronnie Stanley and everything at work. But the Bengals, I mean, that's been such a huge talking point. And even early this season, with all the, you know, the free agent dollars they invested early on this year, it wasn't working great. But that offensive line really gelled as the season went on. But now you're talking about an entirely new right side of the offensive line potentially for Sunday night. I mean, there you go. If you're trying to piece together how the Ravens win on Sunday night.
I was going to say, let's go to fantasy land. Take me to fantasy land here, Luke. Like, winning the game on Sunday, for me, it is a fantasy if you think Tyler Huntley's going to win, right? So, like, to me, fantasy land is Lamar shows up. Lamar runs around, throws a little bit on Thursday and Friday, enough to be dangerous. They get to Cincinnati. They lace it up. J.K. Dobbins has a helmet and a chin strap on, right? Who are the wide receivers? It's not DeSean Jackson. I know that, right? So what's a fantasy play against the Bengals getting them to post at 8:15 on Sunday night?
You know, well, first thing – I will take a little bit of issue with saying fantasy land. I mean, if Lamar Jackson plays, it's not a pipe dream that this team wins on Sunday night. I mean, they lost by 11 points by resting starters on Sunday. And I get it. Like, you know, it's kind of a half real, half fake kind of coast through the game kind of deal. But if Lamar Jackson plays and is right, and my goodness, that's a colossal if at this point. If he plays and if he's right, you know, meaning he's somewhere in the range of, I don't know, 95%, let's say, or 92%, let's say, you know, then it's very, very much a realistic.
Even more remarkable given the ring rust.
Sure. No, and I get that. And I'm not even saying Lamar has to be right, meaning he has to play his absolute best game of the season, but we get a representative Lamar Jackson performance if he's out there. That's the case. The Ravens have a heck of a chance to win on Sunday night. So, but that point aside, what else has to happen beyond that? Certainly need to be able to run the football. J.K. Dobbins, you know, doing what we've seen him do over the last 4 to 5 weeks, is certainly a major part of that. Now, it's a Cincinnati run defense that is not elite, but it is way better with D.J. Reader at defensive tackle, which keep in mind the Ravens didn't face him back in week 5. So, you know, that's certainly a big difference there. And I mean, the Ravens ran the ball some here and there on Sunday, and other times didn't find a lot of running room. Again, how real was that? You know, I'm not putting a lot of stock in that one way or the other.
I think they wanted to run Gus Edwards more, right?
Sure.
Obviously,
yeah,
now they
yeah.
have I that mean, to deal with this week.
Right. I mean, that's certainly a big part of this. I mean, it's not as though I don't think their chances are sunk if Gus Edwards is still in concussion protocol, but you do miss him from a short yardage standpoint. There's no question about that. But, you know, you have J.K. Dobbins. You know, Kenyon Drake is part of the picture then, you know. Justice Hill can be a bigger part of the picture, theoretically, if you don't have Gus Edwards. But yes, that makes it a challenge. But, you know, as far as Mark Andrews is obviously huge. I mean, we saw what Isaiah Likely, we saw what Charlie Kohler did. Again, not putting too much stock, good or bad, in what we saw. But it's not difficult to envision Mark Andrews doing more or doing what Isaiah Likely did and then some against this Bengals defense. So obviously that's a huge part of it because, as you mentioned, who are their wide receivers? Doesn't really matter at this point. They're not, none of them are good enough. let's put it that way, you know? So we know that, but a lot of this really does come down to the defense and being able to get some stops. If you can hold Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense to the low 20s in terms of points, you know, somewhere in that neighborhood, then think you got a shot. You know, you got a real shot if Lamar is back, right? I mean,
well, three field goals instead of three touchdowns goes a long way.
Yeah, no question. Right? I mean, that's right.
There's your 12 points. You know, there's their swing right there. Right?
I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, and this is where you take some pause and recognize that, hey, the red zone issues were at work long, and I mean long before Lamar Jackson got hurt. I mean, this team went 8 for 10 inside the red zone in weeks 1 through 3, and since then, like, it's ugly. Like, it's really ugly since going back to week 4. But for one game. Oh, hey, these are elimination games, right? These are knockout games every week. For one game, if you can be better in the red zone offensively and you can hold Cincinnati to a couple field goals rather than touchdowns inside the red zone, there you go. That's how you have a chance that it's a 3-point game with 8 minutes to go. And then at that point, hey, I mean, it's coin flip. You know, I mean, it truly is at that point. So, I mean, it's not anything terribly complicated. I mean, it's not as though this team's identity has changed dramatically. It's just you have a way, you have a dynamic quarterback that you're hoping to get out on the field. And, you know, whether you're going to, you know, I'm guessing even if he is close to 100%, he's probably not going to be, this isn't going to be one of the games where you're looking at Lamar to run it 18 times, but you're hoping he can at least run it, let's say, 8 times and at least pose the threat to keep a defense stressed and, you know, to keep them honest. And then that opens things up that much more for everything else you want to do.
It takes a lot for him to be completely healthy, to be able to do the things he does, because you'll see on the first set of downs that if he gets trapped and can't move in that way, it's no bueno. You would know that. You'll know that by 8:45 on Sunday night, whether it's normal or not. And, you know, you go out there and throw in sweatpants on and, you know, Thursday, Friday, move around a little bit. But we'll know with our eyes right away. It won't take long.
Yeah. And I think it's critical if he can get into the open field and have a nice gain, even if you're not wanting him to do that a ton. But if he can do that early in the game, boy, that changes everything in terms of how stressed the defense becomes, because it's like, hey, wait a second, that's Lamar Jackson that was back out there and kind of looked like Lamar Jackson. That makes things different for Dobbins, Edwards, whoever else is carrying the football, and it makes things a heck of a lot different for Mark Andrews and whoever's catching the football. So, I mean, it's, you know, we've been a broken record about it, you know, but it's that important. But, you know, even for this defense, you know, if you have Lamar Jackson on the other side and your running game becomes that much more dynamic, and this is coming from the guy who's talked about the passing game over and over and over, but the running game can become that much more dynamic and Lamar play action, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, do those things where you're doing enough, then this game becomes extremely interesting. And this game absolutely becomes a game the Ravens can win. You know, that's why I again, And I'm not picking on your you know, choice of words, because it is a pipe dream to try to win if Lamar Jackson's not right, you know, or if he, certainly if he's not out there, that's obvious. But, you know, if he is out there and he's healthy and some semblance of looking like himself, they've got a really good chance to win this football game, you know.
If we go back to November, and I'm not playing rotisserie football here, but if this matchup were in early November before the injury and these were the teams, the Ravens had leads, double-digit leads, and they had another one last week that they blew, right? They've had double-digit leads in all of these games, and we don't think of them as being in any way a dominant team, or it's been so long since we've seen them look the way they look. And they didn't look that way for a long time either. I mean, Stanley had come back. They had a couple of weeks where they were trending in that, oh, they're 12-1 to win the Super Bowl now. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're not 18 or 20. People are buying in. They're now 40, right? And there's a reason for that. And the reason is it didn't look all composed. It's never going to be composed, right? Because Devin Duvernay's not here. Bateman's not here, whatever you'd say about the wide receivers. But as much as it can be composed, that if you would have said to me on Labor Day, they're going to be in the playoffs in Cincinnati on the week of January 15th, you're going to play a Sunday night game, they're going to have Ronnie Stanley, right? If you would have said to me, oh, Mark Andrews, when he was hurt 8 weeks ago, he's going to be okay, and you're going to know he's okay. Your offensive line is going to be intact, as opposed to what the Bengals are going to be dealing with on Sunday night, right? Mm-hmm. So Dobbins will be rested and will have shown you enough to show you that he's good for four quarters of football on a Sunday night in January, right? So if we were to go through all of these pieces, if you would have said to me on my birthday, October 14th, right, you would have said they're going to be in the playoffs in Cincinnati and they're going to get Roquan Smith and he's going to play 8 weeks and the defense is going to turn when he comes in. It's going to look different when he comes in, and he would say, well, Calais Campbell's going to be healthy. I mean, there's a lot to recommend.
Yeah.
the team in that way, so we're not pooping on them all week, because they are in the playoffs, right? Like, and as much as they'll be hell to pay once they lose Sunday night, because they're probably going to lose Sunday night, and I'm, you know, relegated to thinking that way, that this is going to be an all hell breaks loose off season. But at least between now and, let's say, I don't know, Thursday, when you'll either be convinced Lamar is playing or not, that we can speak about this between now and at least the middle of the week, as though the fantasy land and the pipe dream that Lamar's going to play. Now, man, you know, he's going to be 80, whatever. He's going to be what he is, right? He's going to play. He's going to be good enough to get to the field on Sunday night. If that's our dream premise, then I would fully agree with you that all of these other scenarios that connect the dots, that if they win on Sunday night somehow, 31-27, because they get two picks, they strip a ball, the Tucker hits a kick, they return something weird, block something, I don't know. The kinds of stuff that happens when you're a touchdown underdog and you're bringing your miracle, what generational Willis Reed comes out of the bathroom from Cleveland and wins games. I don't know. We bet against this kid enough. You get mad at me because I bet against this kid enough, right? Like, and I say, you're going to win a Super Bowl, believe that? All the stuff that's going on with him, this is judgment day for all of them this week. And that gets real heavy, but if we're going to play it out as they can win, Lamar showing up is enough, right? Because all the other parts, forget the wide receivers, I'll hear all that, but there's enough moving parts here to say that they won 10, 11 games this way. Like, can they beat Cincinnati if they can penetrate the right side of their offensive line and bust up a fourth down and get a ball? Or I don't know, but this does tend to make me think more positively, at least on Baltimore Positive, the early part of the week, that if there's a Lamar sighting, there's a football game, as opposed to what we saw on Sunday, which was not a football game.
But agreed, they lost by 11 points though. But my point is, with a defense the way that they have it, and again, whether you think it's good, really good, or great, it's somewhere in that range, right? Especially as far as how we view defense in 2023 now. So you have that, you have the running game. I mean, that formula right there gives you a chance to muddy up the game, right? Make it ugly, you know, limit
defense,
the possessions a little more.
You run the ball in January, so, you win championship.
you laid it out, though, with all the other things they have going for them from a health standpoint. And for the most part, okay, Gus Edwards now, concussion protocol. We'll see how that goes. You know, did he actually have a concussion, or was it a case of, you know, he was evaluated and they ultimately kept him out? And that, you know, that's what happened with Tyler Huntley a couple weeks back. You know, my understanding was he never actually had a concussion, but they wanted to be careful. You know, he went through the protocol and they just said, hey, let's keep him out just to be safe. That was my understanding of that. And he played the following Saturday. So if it's something like that, Gus Edwards could be up and available.
My God,
on
the backside, all the, everybody in the league wearing a three, right? I mean,
sure.
But whatever they need to do health-wise, if Lamar's not healthy enough to play Sunday night, he's not healthy enough to play Sunday night.
Right, of course. And you know, I'm not suggesting that, and no one should be suggesting that if he's not close to, you know, if he's nowhere close to 100%, then no, he shouldn't be playing.
If he's limping, he cannot go play in Cincinnati Sunday night, period.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, I guess, you know, what does the limp look like? Is it a little tiny little hitch that we've seen with? No. I'm like, here, look, I mean, I'm not talking out of turn here with talking. There have been guys who've played that have limped. I mean, J.K. Dobbins has limped.
That may be the funniest thing you've ever said on this.
Of a limp is it?
On
this
WNST.
Is, but it's not all or nothing.
Let me spit up my Royal Farms coffee. That's hilarious.
I hear you. But no.
Are we talking a big limp or?
Well, sure. I mean, if you can barely walk. I mean, sure, if he could barely walk, then of course not. But, you know, is it a little case where, you know, when he really, like J.K. Dobbins, I've joked about this with Dennis. You know, I've said that J.K. Dobbins, to me, has looked like a sports car that doesn't have its highest gear right now. Because when you see him really try to sprint and really kind of air it out, so to speak, that's when he starts limping. Now, he's not injured. It's just the flexion in his knee. And his ham, he talked about this at length a couple weeks ago. It's his hamstring. You know, his hamstring, he didn't really air it out, so to speak, with his legs for the better part of a year. So when you're really in the open field and trying to run for a touchdown after you busted a 30-yard run,
muscle.
you don't have that. It's like not having that highest gear in your car. So, you know, that's kind of the example I've used. But to go back to what you were saying, you mentioned all the different variables that would be at work here. You know, Ronnie Stanley, J.K. Dobbins looking right. You know, the defense for the most part being intact. What they lost, Michael Pierce. Other than that, him and Kyle Fuller. Other than that, you know, it's, you know, Calais Campbell was back on Sunday. Marcus Peters is going to be back this week. You know, you look at all those things, and then you tell me that Lamar Jackson's out there, and maybe he's not 100%, but he's close to being right. You know, he looks like Lamar Jackson for the most part. They got a heck of a chance then. You know, you tell me that, I say, roll the ball out, see you Sunday night, and it's going to be up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be AFC
try to tackle
North.
Lamar. Go get
all the. All the chippiness we saw on Sunday with Ravens and Bengals and trash talk and pushing and shoving, like, bring it on. That's AFC North football, baby. Absolutely. But it's a big if at this point. After 5 weeks, it's a big if. You know, so you see
it's a different game if Anthony Brown's your quarterback Sunday night all of a sudden, because Huntley really is hurt and Lamar really is swollen. And that's that. And let's, you know, and if that's the case, they'll lose 45-13. If they have to go play again, if the Bengals try hard, really try hard.
I mean, I think they'll lose. I don't know if they'll give up 45 points, but your point's well taken. And to be, let's be fair here. If Brandon Allen were lining up at quarterback for the Bengals on Sunday, I would say the Ravens win by 17 points. So, you know, I mean,
go through the league. I don't even know where half the backups are in half of these places.
The team.
I'm still trying to figure out the Stetson kid on Monday night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, it really does come down to, if it's not a big deal that you lost your quarterback, then the guy probably isn't that good. I mean, maybe Garoppolo and the situation in San Francisco is the lone exception here. But other than that,
listen, don't tell Phil Sims that, okay? In the case of Jeff Hostetler, you know,
yeah,
so.
That's true. But hey, it helped that he had Lawrence Taylor on the other side of the ball at the
Nick Foles,
least.
Baby. Yeah, you know, yeah. We're still waiting on Carson Wentz, right? Hey,
look at how that's played out. So, I mean, you just don't know. But to bring it back to, you know, where we were at the start of our conversation here, the defense is going to be a big part of this. And will we see a defensive effort that is a complete 60 minutes and getting some stops and holding Cincinnati to some field goals inside the red zone rather than touchdowns? They do that, they have a heck of a chance, assuming Lamar is on the other side of the ball. If they don't, and we kind of see what we've seen at other times from this defense, which is play really well for 45 minutes, and then, you know, the last 15 minutes you fall apart, as we even saw falling apart late in the Pittsburgh game in week 17. If that's the case, then yeah, they're probably going to lose, you know, especially playing on the road. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But again, you know, as much as we try to talk about other elements of this game and other matchups and other players that are involved and how important the defense is or the running game or the offensive line or, you know, Joe Burrow waking up on the right side of the bed or wrong side of the bed as, you know, he's missed some throws on Sunday, you know, it still comes back to, is Lamar Jackson out there or not? And how does he look? And, you know, we're just on a loop with this, right? I mean,
Sunday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if he's out there, then and he looks like Lamar Jackson, then I'm looking forward to a fun football game. If not, well, kind of is what it is at this point.
I'm going to be out at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog looking like the kid from Highland Town that ate the hot dog with the ketchup and the relish on there, a little bit of sauerkraut, sometimes a little chili out of the little silver dish. I'm looking forward to seeing Andy. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour coming to White Marsh on Thursday this week. I was kind of preparing because I didn't know how the holiday and the weekend and playoff football. I was prepared for Ravens playoff football. We're going to be doing it Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have some scratch-offs, the holiday cash drops, as well as the Ravens scratch-offs. Still have a handful of the Ravens left from last year. Still have some winners. Been giving some winners away. We had a $50 winner 2 weeks ago at Costas. So looking forward to giving those away. Our friends, of course, at Window Nation. I'm wearing my Window Nation gear as well. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. And 60 months free financing, 0%. So make sure you're taking advantage of those things here during the cold winter months. I am so happy I got my new windows. I love them. And my cat loves them. And the squirrels love them. I know that much. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, fantasizing about Lamar Jackson making it to the field on Sunday night against Cincinnati, and certainly taking a look at all of the games going on this week, as well as inauguration with Wes Moore, as well as Steve Bisciotti getting $600 million of free money from you and me. We are BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.